My name is Elaine Driver. I'm a mental health nurse and I've been qualified for 29 years. I'm also a non-medical prescriber, which means I understand quite a lot about medication and research. I'm a clinical nurse specialist working in addiction, and I work in the Bristol Royal Infirmary. And I also work in a community project in Bristol as well for women.
Righto. So, could you just tell us about your? Because you're one of these people that, in fact, there are many, aren't there? Maybe you could tell us if you can, how many in Bristol and in the country who are being told that they must now have a vaccine or potentially lose their job. Now, can you just tell us first of all? I mean, obviously, we can talk in a minute about the effect that that's having on you. But what's on what have you based that decision not to have a vaccine?
Okay, so my personal reason for this is early on, when we first heard about this pandemic, I was very frightened, the same as probably a lot of people who'd be listening to this were. I carried on going to work every day despite that. And I caught coronavirus, which was horrible, but I got over it. I had about 10 days off work. I didn't feel right for about 10 weeks. I went back in. But actually, it was such a relief to have had it because I didn't have to be frightened of it anymore. And because then I had naturally acquired immunity, which is what we heard a lot of talk about at the beginning of this pandemic when we were told, developing herd immunity. So I didn't have to be frightened anymore. And ever since then, I've carried on. I've worked on the COVID wards. I've been in small rooms with people with definitely positive to COVID with very little personal protective equipment, but I wasn't scared because I'd had it. So that was a relief to me. So that, because I've have naturally acquired immunity, I don't see any need for me personally to have a vaccination because I will be very well protected by my natural immunity now. And I just feel that I'm the best qualified person to make that decision about my own health. Absolutely. Just as patients have the right to make their health decisions based on information. I have that right too, and I don't feel that any kind of medication should be imposed on me by anybody.
Okay, so how is this your decision not to have a vaccine? How is it now affecting you?
Well, as of February the 3rd, if healthcare workers haven't had the first of the vaccinations, they will be dismissed. And so I'm expecting to finish in the NHS on the 31st of March this year, and that will be the end of my nursing career, unless I move to Wales or Scotland, where these vaccine mandates are not currently in place. So, how I feel about that, first of all, I felt very angry about it, but it's like any kind of grieving, you go through a process, you're angry, you're sad. Whatever. Now I've got to the point where I think, so be it, because I'm absolutely not going to change my mind about having the vaccination. So I guess, I'll just have to make the best of it. But I'm very sad because I love my nursing job, I really don't want to stop being a nurse.
Okay, so how do you think, or what has led this kind of a decision to dismiss people like you? I mean, we've got this bizarre situation where at the beginning of the pandemic, people are clapping the NHS, and now we're also being told that the NHS is in crisis with a massive number of tens of thousands of vacancies. And now, what has caused, do you think, what kind of decision making is going on in the health service that all these incredibly well-trained people with all this massive experience of dealing with patients, really some of the best people in the world, are being told, no, you've got to leave.
It doesn't really make any sense, does it? Because the figures that we're looking at are, well, like when I had my letter about dismissal from work, it said that 91% of staff had been vaccinated. So that means that you're looking at 9% of staff in the University Hospitals Bristol Trust, 9% who haven't been vaccinated. So unless they cave in before February the 3rd, that's potentially 9% of the workforce gone on the 1st of February. In the Royal United Hospital in Bath, I believe the figure not vaccinated is 14%. That is a lot of people. And we're already struggling in the NHS with staffing issues. I believe nationally we're something like 40,000 nurses down, less than what we need, 2,500 midwives less. It just doesn't make any sense, you know, and it's going to put patient safety at risk when those people go on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, funnily enough. But yeah, and so we're talking about nursing assistants, you know, consultants, clinical nurse specialists like myself, all sorts of people, really experienced, qualified people. They can't easily be replaced by, you know, people brought in from somewhere else.
How's this affected morale at work? Because I imagine there are quite a few of your colleagues who are sympathetic, as well as those who are saying, well, you should have got your vaccine.
I don't think that colleagues are particularly sympathetic, to be honest. People don't really want to talk about it, weirdly. It's like it's being censored, a discussion of it, in a really strange way that you wouldn't expect with any, okay, it's a political topic, but we can talk about, you know, Brexit and other issues in the world. But for some reason, people don't really want to talk about the vaccine mandate. I just find it quite odd. And if you do, a lot of the time, if you do try to talk about it to people, their just eyes just sort of shift around and get the sense that they don't really want to hear.
Yeah, well, there's been, I mean, I think quite a history of bullying and dismissals within the health service by the management over certainly the last 10 years I've been reporting. And even though there are these sort of, freedom of conscience clauses and whistleblowing clauses, I'm not convinced personally that these really mean much when it comes down to it in the management of the health service. But surely, I mean, these are all the sorts of issues that, you know, health service unions would and should normally be taking up and, you know, fighting, helping you get organised and lawyers and fighting for you.
OK, so there are quite a lot of lawyers helping us to put together cases. But what I would say for the mainstream unions, if they're just so disappointing, all of them, basically their response has been, you need to get vaccinated. I have spoken to a rep from one of my unions, because I'm in two now, the GMB, and the rep himself was really helpful. But when I got a written response from higher up in the GMB, they weren't helpful at all. And I just think, what have we been paying into these unions for decades, you know, just to not get any support now?
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of expert opinion that would agree with you that it doesn't make any sense if you've had COVID to have a vaccine. In fact, it can actually interfere with your body's own natural immune system in quite a detrimental manner. Now, I mean, I'm part of a group called Holding the Line, which is a group of journalists, mostly NUJ members, who have decided that, for example, we will make sure that none of our members are forced out of their jobs because they haven't had a vaccine or forced out of the workplace. So thank God there's a little bit going in our union anyway. But the website, by the way, is, for anyone who's interested, is holding-the-line.com. I would have thought that there must be something you can do. Obviously there is, and there is a campaign, a national campaign, I would say a marvellous national campaign personally, called NHS 100K. Can you tell us a bit about that and what that campaign's been up to, and if anything is happening in Bristol?
So NHS 100K is a campaign started, I believe, by some ambulance technicians or paramedics to fight the vaccine mandates. And it's been going not for more than 3 months, I think, but it has really quickly gathered momentum and gathered a lot of members to the campaign. So there are subgroups for that all over the country. There's one for Bristol and Bath together. It's not, I think there's about 90 people in it at the moment, but it's really difficult to find people because, as you mentioned before, with the whistleblowing and all that kind of thing, people are quite worried about sticking their heads, you know, over the parapet for fear of being picked off by management. And we're not allowed to sort of put, flyers up around the hospital or about this kind of thing. You have to really stick your neck out, and it's actually quite a scary thing to do because we know that it just doesn't feel safe anyway in the climate as it is now.
Well, it's very, very sad. I mean, the idea that you've got almost like to have a kind of underground of people whispering to each other. And but I mean, what can you just tell us maybe a couple of stories of your colleagues who haven't been, you know, or wouldn't be able to do what you're doing, is to go public and talk about this, about the sort of things they're going through, not wishing to have a vaccine, but also not wishing to lose their career.
Well, I mean, there's quite a lot of colleagues who've got mortgages, you know, mortgages, kids, and they're just beside themselves, so stressed, can't sleep, panic attacks. I think there's a few people off with stress, and that even then they're being contacted about these meetings we're supposed to be having to inform us about why it's a good idea to take the vaccine. But I would just say about the, not, I don't think many of these colleagues are going to cave in, because we've, even to get to this point and not have had the vaccine, we've had to sort of face quite a lot of opposition, you know, and quite a lot of adverse comments from people about it. So I would say that we're pretty determined, you know, not to cave in, but it's really, really stressful. And the thought of, you know, not being able to work as a nurse anymore. In fact, the vaccine mandates are not coming in Wales and Scotland, so potentially people will just go and work elsewhere. But so going back to the NHS 100K campaign, there's quite a lot of lawyers and various sort of groups of people trying to help us to construct, you know, our defence and potentially, you know, group court cases and things further on down the line if we do get sacked. It's really useful to have that support within the group, you know, because it is a difficult time for all of us. People are just broken by this.
Yes, it can be really soul destroying. Just to say, the website is nhs100k.com. Now, look, you work in mental health. I mean, there's a certain amount of sort of nudge unit, you know, this, it seems, behind this. You know, there's a behavioural insights team people, and a lot of, I think, almost psychological pressure being put on people. Do you think ultimately, you know, this is going, that the people are going to be sacked, or is this just some kind of attempt to get people vaccinated who might not otherwise wish they weren't?
Well, is it a case of who blinks first? You know, they don't want us to think that they're not going to go through with it. Ideally, as many of us will be vaccinated as possible without them having to sack us. But who knows whether they're going to go through with it or not. There's a part of me that thinks, do I really want to be associated with an employer who would treat their staff like this? There's a part of me that thinks I might just walk anyway, even if they don't sack us. That's how I loved my job up until a few months ago. And now I just feel I don't even understand what's going on here. This is just so far removed from anything that we would ever expect to happen. I mean, 2 years ago, we were being clapped on the doorsteps, and now we're being sacked. I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, look, that's, I suppose, my final question to you, really, is what is going on? Because it doesn't seem to make any kind of rational sense to do what is being done here. You know, you're someone who's perfectly able to make decisions about what does and doesn't go into your body and medical treatments, to approve them or not approve them. So what is happening? Because it seems to me that that your ability to do your job is far, far more important than whether or not you've had a vaccine, because you've had COVID and you're almost certainly never going to be able to get it again.
Well, if I do get another variant of it, it shouldn't be anything like as bad as the first time. And also, I mean, if I'm ill and I have symptoms, I don't go to work. There is no asymptomatic transmission of COVID, so you're not going to be like a silent spreader. If I have it again, I just won't go to work. But even, I don't want to get into discussing the pros and cons of the vaccine, really, but I don't know what's going on. I don't think it's about public health. I don't really think it's about health. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, what about, I mean, one of the things, sorry, I don't want to answer the question for you, but one of the things I've seen a lot of people saying is that they think that there's actually an attempt to really nobble the National Health Service, you know, has been, it's been an absolute beacon around the world since the end of the Second World War, and that there are a lot of private healthcare companies out there who would rather the NHS didn't exist.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's part of an agenda to continue the privatisation of the NHS. I mean, maybe so. It wouldn't surprise me, but it's not for me to, you know, speculate, is it, on what's really going on? All I know is that it doesn't make any sense in terms of the running of the health service and patient safety.
And what message have you got for anyone in a similar position to you?
I say hold the line. Don't give in and get vaccinated if that isn't what you want to do. If you're a worker, there will always be work. That's my message. You know, don't just hold the line.
Well, very good and highly qualified mental health nurse from Bristol, Elaine Driver. Thanks very much for joining us.
Welcome.